Over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Speaking to you this morning about what does God want me to do? Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's begin reading in verse 15. Moses is at the end of his life and soon to turn the reins over to Joshua to lead the people of Israel into the promised land, giving the people of Israel this final admonition before he passes on. And verse 15 of Deuteronomy 30, it says, "See," this is God speaking here, "I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil." No, I'm sorry, this is Moses. "In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." A choice before them. He says, choose life. And as you look at this and you see the how the history of Israel unfolded, they made the wrong choice. And it ended up in them losing the land that God promised them, that God was going to lead them into and go before them in the conquest of them to give to them. The special place that God had for them. But God says simply, look, choose me and you're there. You've got it. And the blessings. But if you choose something else, it's not going to be good. We face choices in our lives all the time. Not all of them as life-changing as this particular choice, but we have choices a lot. And the question oftentimes is, what does God want me to do? Last week I spoke about contentment, looking at Solomon and the apes and the peacocks that he assembled around himself and all the other things that he enjoyed. And after the message, Clay came up to me and had a question. He says, "So how do you know what God wants?" He said, I've been saving up for a new guitar for a while, and I'd like that. Is it wrong for me to want this new guitar? That's a good question. And it kind of touches on a thought that I've kind of had in the back of my mind for a while to preach on. So, but you know what? Let's do this. And this relates to just giving you some biblical principles for making decisions in your life. Just some real practical things this morning we're going to look at. Because we face decisions all the time. And again, it's not a sin against God to buy a guitar if you've already got one. But what does God want me to do? And that's really significant in the how our life plays out is, do I seek God's direction and will in my life in the choices that I make? Whether it be the big ones like this or something maybe smaller and even more insignificant than adding another guitar to my collection. God says that he has the very hairs of our head numbered. If he's that interested in such a minute detail in our life, don't you think he's also interested in some of the smaller decisions as well as the big ones? I believe it's important to consider God in all the things that we do, even the little things in our life. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 31. Paul writing to the Corinthian church, he says in verse 31 of chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Even what I eat and drink. There's other verses that relate to this, but I believe that's why we should ask the Lord's blessing on the things that we put into our body. It's taken the curse off of it to some degree. But everything that we do, he says, I'm to do it to the glory of God. How I live my life. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, so now we're not just talking about eating and drinking, it's what I say, what I do. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Oh, let's drop down to verse 23. I didn't mean to read through there, just verse 23 now. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Everything I do, being done as unto God, bringing glory and honor to his name in my life. We should give more thought to God than the decisions we make in our lives. Everything that we do. Because my purpose is to glorify him. So the first thing is, you're thinking about a decision. The first thing we need to do is first acknowledge God's ownership in my life. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? See, I belong to God. This is not God's temple. This is God's temple. This building is simply the place where we assemble. The temple of God is my body. Paul says, consider that. And I think we ought to have respect for the house of God, as it's sometimes called, but we should have even more for what is considered the temple. And he goes on, he says, the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit's dwelling within us, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I belong to him. And as a child of God, I am twofold indebted to God. In the first place, he gave me life. He sustains my life. The only reason any human being is still alive on the face of the earth is because God has granted to them life. And God can snuff it out just like that. So we're indebted first because God is the giver of our lives. But then, as Paul says, you're bought with a price. As a child of God, not only am I indebted to him because he gave me life in the first place, but I am doubly indebted to him because now he's given to me eternal life through the blood of Jesus. He bought me. He purchased me. He owns me. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. And my purpose now is to glorify God in my body and my spirit, which belong to Him, which are God's. So the decisions I make through the day should take this into consideration. Okay. Here's what I want to do. But God, what do you want? What do you want of my life today? What do you want of my life this afternoon? What do you want of my life this evening? Each and every day, each throughout the day, we recognize God's ownership. I belong to Him. And everything that I have belongs to Him. It's not mine. Suppose I were to come up to Nate one day and say, "Hey, Nate, I want to borrow your car this Saturday." And I'm sure Nate would say, "Sure, Pastor, whatever you want, go ahead." And so I take his car and I go down to the fairgrounds and I enter it in a demolition derby. And I bring what's left of it back to him at the end of the derby. How do you think he'd feel about that? "I gave it back to you." Yeah. Look, some of us are entering a demolition derby with what God owns. I'm bought with a price. I'm to glorify God in my body and my spirit, which belong to Him. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. It's a familiar passage, but maybe looking at it in a little bit different angle this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, let's begin in verse 1. Again, this is Solomon writing to his son, giving him some instruction, trying to help him to be a better servant of God than he himself was. He starts in verse 1 of Proverbs 3, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." And it's kind of similar to what Moses told the people of Israel back in Deuteronomy 30. Keep God's law, His commandments, His statutes, and His judgment. Do what God said to do. He says, verse 2, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Hey, son, I'm not just trying to give you a bunch of rules to make your life miserable. In fact, just the opposite. I'm trying to give you some instruction that's going to help you through life to have a long life and peace. Verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Keep these things with you all the time. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Verse 5, the passage we're very, very familiar with, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." The second part of this is important, "And lean not unto thine own understanding." Man, there's a lot of things about God that just don't make sense. I'm not to lean on my own understanding. I'm to trust Him. Verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, because I belong to Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." There's some physical benefit to being obedient to what God tells us to do. "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." There's giving. I'm to honor God because it belongs to Him in the first place. And some people say, "Well, how much should I give?" That's between you and God. Well, am I supposed to tithe, give 10% of everything? That's between you and God. It's a good place to start. But that's between you and God. In 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians says, as every man purpose in his own heart, so let him give. But the thing is, somehow we are to use what God has given to us, our resources, our mostly it's funds, money. But he says, we're to use that to honor God. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's why we give, to please and honor God. Now, I know that for the most part, this church is a very giving church. I'm surprised sometimes when I see the offerings for missionaries and speakers, and I'm delighted with it. I don't know how it compares to other churches. It doesn't matter how it compares to other churches. But I think I think our church is a giving church. That's good. I mean, honor the Lord with your substance. That's what you're doing. You're honoring God. We ought to do that. That's acknowledging his ownership of my body and all that I possess. And that's a good thing. And then he puts a blessing along with that as well. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You can't outgive God. God's not going to let you get ahead of him. God's going to see there's a blessing in it. Honor him in all your ways, acknowledging him. And as we're acknowledging him, the first place thing we need to do is go to this book when it comes to a decision. And what does the Word of God have to say about this? Is there some scripture, or is there some scriptural principle that applies to what I want, or what I want to do, or what I'm planning? Go to the scriptures. You know, the most obvious place to find out God's mind on something, how God thinks about something, is in his word. That's what he's given it to us for us to understand him. And to understand what he expects of us. We're in Proverbs. Go back to chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, start in verse 1. As this book starts out, as Solomon begins this writing to his son, in verse 1 of chapter 1, he says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So it's wisdom, instruction, and understanding are found not only in Proverbs, but throughout the Bible, but particularly in Proverbs. And the interesting thing is, the book of Proverbs transcends all the dispensations. The principles here, there's very little that's specifically applied to Old Testament, and specifically to the Old Testament law. It just applies throughout our lives. Verse 3, he says, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. The young need that. They don't have the experience. This is where you can gain something to make up for that you lack. He says, verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So the first counsel you need to seek is God's word. What's the scripture say? How does that relate? In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And I can't tell you the number of times when just reading the Bible, I'd spend some time reading the Bible, 10 pages in the Old Testament, 4 pages in the New Testament every day. Gets me through the Bible 3 times a year. But it's amazing how many times just something will just jump right off the page at me. And on occasion, it's like, God, when did you put that there? I never saw that before. God will speak to you through this book. Let him. Go to the scriptures. You also need to ask, does it glorify God? Is this what I want? Is this thing that I desire? Does it glorify God? Is it pleasing to him? Look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, the first three chapters dealt with the seven churches of Asia Minor. Chapter 4 opens with a door in heaven opened up, and a voice says, come up hither. And then all chapter 4 deals with heaven. It's a glimpse of what's going on in heaven after he's dealt with these seven churches from the first century. And you come down to the very last chapter of chapter 4 of Revelation, and in verse 11 it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, that includes me, he owns me, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. What's my purpose in life? Why am I here? First and foremost, to give God pleasure. That's what it said. And so is everything and everyone else. Here for the purpose of giving pleasure to God. So the choices I make need to be pleasing to God. They need to glorify him. They need to honor him. Go back to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul's writing from prison. He's there because he's preached of Jesus Christ against the law. And he says this in verse 21 of chapter 1 of Philippians, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. Paul says, I'm ready to go home. I have nothing here on this earth that I need to stick around for. I want to be with my Savior. I want to see him who died for me. But he says, I'm willing to stay. I don't know what to choose. I just want what pleases God. Verse 23. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Man, I get away from this place. All the aches and the pains are gone. All the things that I've suffered, all that is over. It's past. That's far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. But he says, maybe God's not done with me yet. Maybe there's more that God has for me to do for you. I don't know which to choose. I know what I want, but I also want to see the people that God has used me to reach, to be cared for, to nurture, and so forth. Verse 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. I want to please God. And I'm willing to endure even more suffering if that pleases him. Does it glorify and please God? What's the scripture have to say about it? Does it interfere with God's will for my life? When we moved to Gove, Kansas in 1983, I had been exposed to some people who were tax protesters in the church there in Rochester. And I'd done some reading on it and some study of the thing. And if you do, you'll find out that there's a lot of things unconstitutional about our current tax system, the income tax code. One of the things is you are forced to sign your tax form, which incriminates you, because everything that you have put in there can be used against you in the tax court. That's unconstitutional. And I could, you know, go on and on about that. But the bottom line is, I had decided that I wasn't going to pay income tax when we moved to Kansas to take that church, to pastor that church. And it was in sympathy with some of the people that were in the church out there as well. And I wrestled with that thing for several months. And here's, I believe God didn't audibly speak to me, but I believe he gave me an answer about this thing. And it boiled down to this. Am I willing to sacrifice the ministry that God has called me to for the sake of a few $100 a year? I mean, I would be right. But there's no guarantee that I wouldn't still go to jail. You know, you don't want to get involved in the court system in this country. It's a crapshoot, folks. You get in the wrong side of the law, and you got no guarantee that things are going to come out justly. Some of you can testify to that personally. And I realize that, yeah, I could be right. But I could lose the ministry. That 17 years that I spent out there. The people that were saved. The people that are still serving God today as fruit of that ministry for the sake of a few $100 a year. That was going to interfere with the will of God for my life. So nope, can't do that. It's not worth it. I'm looking for something better, hoping that there will be some rewards laid up for me in heaven that I'll be able to be a partaker of. And a lot of times I think we lose sight of what God wants for my life. And how does this decision going to impact what God wants for my life? There are certain things that God wants of us. I believe God wants us to spend time in this book regularly. Ideally, daily. Spend time reading the Word of God. I believe God wants us in church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is. It says in Hebrews 25. Got to be in church. And sometimes we choose things that take us away from the things that God wants in our life. Does it interfere with God's will for my life? So you seek the Scriptures. This is all part of acknowledging God's ownership. Seeking the Scriptures. What's God say? As my owner, what does God want me to do? Does it glorify Him? Does it please Him? And does it interfere with what He wants me to do? How He wants me to serve Him? Is it going to affect my witness for Him? Think about those things. Second thing is this. After you've acknowledged His ownership, you need to pray. James chapter 1 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. What's God want? God, help me to give me the wisdom that I need to make the right decision on this thing. Look at Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. You mean God wants me to pray about getting a new guitar?
Yep.
Because I don't know what God wants for you. I can't give Clay an answer on that. But God can. And he told him, if you lack wisdom, ask. God knows what he wants for Clay's life. And how that thing could or impact what God wants, how it could help him in what God wants, or maybe it could take away from that. Proverbs 2 and verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. God says he's attentive. He sees that sparrow fall from the ground. He sees the number of hairs on our head. And so he pays attention to the little things in our lives. Pray. And how oftentimes do we neglect that in the decisions in our lives? More often than the little things. But God cares about those things. And lastly, this, wait. Well, we're in that microwave society. Punch the buttons, it's warm, I can eat. God doesn't work like a microwave. And a lot of times he just kind of sit you back there. I've had some big decisions in my life, and I've gone through those things, and you know, it's just like God waits till the last minute. You know, Lord, why couldn't you have told me a week ago? Waits till the last minute. Eileen mentioned last week when we candidated out in Kansas. We're out there during Resurrection Sunday of 1983. The candidate, and the pastor's wife in Rochester had told her, you will know as soon as you get there whether this is where God wants you. She told her that, and she did. And we were there, I think, 10 days, and she kept asking me, well, what do you think? I said, I don't know. I don't have any direction one way or the other. She says, I do this where God wants us. Okay, but I don't have that assurance yet. You know what I found out? The night before we left, God gave me a piece about that thing, which he gave her 10 days earlier. And it seems like that's the way God works in my life. You know? Just sit there a little bit, boy. As I say, patience is a virtue. It's just not one of mine. Wait. Psalm chapter 25. Psalm chapter 25 and verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Isaiah 40 and verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. While you're waiting, listen. Because not everything's spelled out clearly in the Word of God. Sometimes you even have trouble finding some principles that apply exactly. I don't know what principle Clay's going to find, whether or not God wants him to buy a guitar. So you wait and you listen for God to speak, for God to tell you. Do you know that when you're praying, you don't have to be talking the whole time? It's all right to just be quiet before God and wait and listen for Him to speak. God didn't tell me, I want you to be in Gove, Kansas. It was that still small voice. Not anything audible, but just a piece here. Yes. This is what I want for you. And that's what he wanted for 17 years of our life. Wait and listen. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. Man, we get our own ideas about things, and that's the most dangerous thing you can do. Because if you trust in your own heart, you're a fool, the Bible says. Because my heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God says, I, the Lord, try the hearts and search. So you wait and you'll listen for God's voice. Would you go to one more verse? Look at Romans 14. You say, well, preacher, I don't know. I've prayed about this. I've waited on God. I've searched the scriptures. And as good as I know my own heart, I'm really yielded to what God wants in this thing. But I just don't know. Romans 14, verse 23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You doubt? Don't do it. I believe God, if you're sincerely seeking him and looking and waiting upon him, God will show you. But sometimes it's not a clear no. Sometimes it's just that little catch in your spirit. Yeah, I'm just not sure about this. Then you either continue to wait or you back away completely. Because he that doubteth is damned if he eat. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Our lives are to be lived by faith. That's a confidence in God, a trusting in him, and a following his leading in our lives. I hope that's a help to you this morning. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, we do face decisions all the time in our lives. And sometimes, God, we're too quick to dismiss the significance or lack of significance of a decision that we make. God, everything that we do ought to be done to your glory and honor. Honoring you in all our ways. Acknowledging you in those ways. Lord, help us to be more diligent about that. Help us, God, to truly surrender our hearts and minds wholly to be pleasing and honoring to you. Pray this message this morning will be a help to your people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.